And if you're looking for the sermon reading in your bulletin this morning, we're not using that today. When I saw how bad it was outside, and I thought, we're going to go in a different direction, something, and we'll preach that another time. And I'm going to preach a sermon I probably preached, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. But I had to make all kind of adjustments. I was scurrying quite a bit early this morning, trying to make everything fit and work everything out with PowerPoints and everything else. If you have your Bible, open up to Genesis chapter 8. If you have a Bible, there's no Bible in front of you, probably in your chair. And please stand. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 16. One of the things I talk about all the time, I talk about this all the time. If I've ever visited you in the hospital, I say this all the time. I probably talk about this aspect once every month and a half or so, God remembering us. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven. And it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. Then the dove returned to him in the evening. There in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. But this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives." Father, I thank you that you always remember us. I pray, Lord, that even in our deepest times, when we are in the deepest valley, that we might remember those words, and that they will be more than just words, but that our faith will increase, so that in the good times and the bad times, no matter what, we may trust you. Help us, Lord, to have our faith increase, that we might become solid through and through, and vessels of honor to serve you in every way. We give you thanks in the precious and blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God remembers you. And sometimes that is easy for us to forget when those times aren't good. At the time of Noah, the world was very wicked. At the time of Noah, the world was very wicked. When I look at those times, and I look at the times where we're headed today, we can almost have the idea that we're either there or we're so close like that. God decided to send a flood. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. And we can only imagine, with all the rain that we had yesterday, I heard a forecast this morning that said, if the rain had been snow, we would have 7 more inches of snow. If the rain had been snow, we would have 7 more inches of snow. We can only imagine what that might be like and how frightening it would be for that constant rain and rain and rain. I don't know. Has anyone ever been in a hurricane? Anybody in a hurricane? Anybody? We've never had that wonderful experience. Nobody? You know, when Stacy and I got married, we had a honeymoon down in the Bahama Islands, and the hurricane had just left, and we went out on the beach, and I thought, there's nobody out on the beach. What's wrong with everybody? I went on the beach. I went in the water, and the waves didn't seem that rough. That picked me up and threw me down on my head, the waves. I thought, wow, how powerful. I can only imagine if the hurricane had still been here. We didn't stay in the water too long. We got out of there. But the sun came out that day, and we had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. Verse 1 says, God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. Remember is used 73 times in the Bible. 73 times in the Bible. When it says that God remembers someone, that is indeed a wonderful thing. May God remember you. May God remember you. May God remember you, and may God remember you. And everything that means. Remember in the Hebrew is zakar. Zakar. And it means this, to show divine compassion. To show divine, you can put this down in your notes that you're taking, right? I'm only kidding. You're thinking, I have no notes to take. To show divine compassion, to act divinely upon a person, to act divinely upon a person. So when God remembers someone, when it tells us that God was remembering, it means that God is acting divinely upon that person. And we see that a number of times in the Old Testament. This is the first time we see it. The very first time we see it is right here. We see God's grace acting upon Noah in the midst of the flood and the storm. In the midst of the flood and the storm, God remembers him. God remembers him. He was one of the faithful ones there, and he saved his family also. God remembered Noah. God remembered Abraham, we're told. God remembered Hannah. And God remembered Samson. Samson had done his deed, was blinded, pushing the gristmill. They brought him out to make fun of him. They put his hands there, and it says God remembered him. His strength came back, and he pulled down the pillars at a pagan temple. God remembered Hannah. She was barren. When God remembered her, she became pregnant. God remembered Noah in 4 specific ways. First, God sent a wind over the earth. He sent a wind over the earth. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. He sent a wind. The Hebrew word, by the way, that is the same word that we use for the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1. It says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. It's the same exact word. It is the word ruach. Ruach. And it signifies life. It signifies activity. It signifies life and activity. At creation, God was creating life. Here, in a sense, God again, we see the Holy Spirit, Ruach, and he's creating, again, something new after the flood. When the flood comes in your lives, and it will, and it does, more than once, and some of you are shaking your heads, when the flood comes in your life, God doesn't clap his hands. When the flood comes in your life, God doesn't clap his hands and say, oh, good for you. Look, look, looky, look. No, he doesn't. Ruach. Just back then, creating something new. He's always tugging us. He's always, always pulling us toward him. One of the things I always talk about also is Yahweh. And I think that is such, not only is it the name of God, and it is, it's God's name, Yahweh. We think that's how we pronounce it. We don't know. There are no vowels in Hebrew. Y-H-W-H. And this is another thing I talk about a lot. Yahweh. It means I'm he who exists and dynamically involved in your life. I am he who exists and dynamically involved in your life. I don't know about you, but when the tough times came or have come in my life, years and years ago, I can remember. I'm working 90 to 100 hours every week, working 7 days a week, full-time pastor and working full-time regular job and trying to raise a family and finish up seminary, also at the same time trying to pastor the church full-time and thinking, Lord, I can't do this anymore. If one more thing happens, I'm done. Well, one more thing always happens. It always happens. And many, many, many years ago, I can remember asking, Lord, I don't see how you're dynamically involved in this. And when those tough times come, we ask that, don't we? I don't see how you're dynamically involved in this. How? How can it be that you're dynamically involved in this? I have not seen it then. It always takes 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years after that I see. And what I usually see is I changed. Not that it's so horrible, it's just that either I grew in grace or I grew in knowledge, and that had an effect on me. Something like that, for the most part. Second, God guided the ark to safety. The ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. I'm sure Noah thought that he was adrift without God, because when those tough times come, we feel like that, don't we? When those tough times come, we feel like we're on that ocean of life and have no idea where God is. Have a sense that I'm here alone. I know that the scripture said he's with me, never will leave me and forsake me. But we are mere humans, and we are frail, and we are fragile. We're frail and we're fragile. The ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Many years ago, I was in the southern part of Russia, looking out toward Turkey, which is where that is, and I could see almost like that, Mount Ararat. I can remember saying, wow, going, wow, that's Mount Ararat, wow, Noah's Ark is there. And being probably that close, just like that, in that same sense. Rest. The ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat is Nuach. And Nuach means victory, secure, rest, home. The ark came and became secure. It came to rest. It was at home. Victory came for Noah. Victory came for Noah. Guess what Noah's name means? I preached this about 5 or 6 years ago, and you didn't remember it. Guess what Noah's name means? Rest. Rest. Noah, rest, found rest, even in a time that was not peaceful with all that time on the water with him. He found rest, even when it wasn't peaceful. Rest found rest. Third, God gave Noah a sign. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. As we know, olives don't grow on high elevations. Mount Ararat goes about 16,000 feet. When that dove came back and brought that leaf, olive leaf back. It was a sign to Noah that it was okay. This sign or symbol is so moving that even today, the olive leaf is a symbol of peace, isn't it? Jeff, I want to offer you the olive leaf today. I know you're really angry and upset with me, but I want to have peace with you. He isn't really. He's not angry. Jeff will never be angry with me. Lou might be angry with me for always saying things about him, but Jeff would never be angry. Lou, you're not mad at me today, are you? What about tomorrow? What does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? Whenever you're in a storm, any kind of storm, look for a sign from God. Look for a sign. Signs offer encouragement. And sometimes God gives just a tiny little sign. I think sometimes they might be so little that we might even miss them. But he'll give us that sign. We'll see that. Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Every time I go to the hospital, I read that verse. Every time I'm there, I read that verse, and then I tell people. So if you're in a hospital and I come to visit you, know you're going to hear this verse. And then I say, because Noah was waiting. You know, he was in that ark for over a year. You know that. When you take a look at the time when he went in and when he got out, he was in that ark, in that storm, for over a year. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That wait isn't just a period of time. The word Hebrew there in the wait means stretching time. So that whenever you're in a storm, whenever you're in a bad setting of any kind, and it seems to last and it's going on for a while, know this, and you already do, that you're not just waiting for God to act. It is also a stretching time for you. And sometimes I think those stretching times are necessary. They're necessary because we need to grow. And you know what I'm going to say is right, it's true. We don't grow when the times are good. We do not grow when the times are good. We grow when we're struggling. You know that yourself in your spiritual walk. We grow when the times are bad and hard. Know what God is saying. Those of you that are waiting upon me, you shall have your strength renewed. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One of the good ones that you need to memorize and keep there before you. Fourth, God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Noah. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark. You and your wife and your sons and their wives, bring out every kind of living creature that is with you. Even though the waters receded, Noah did not leave the ark until God told him to. That's important, isn't it? The waters had receded. The land looked like it was okay. But he did not get out of the ark until God told him to get out of the ark. How important is that? How important is that? What's remarkable about this is the last time we're told that God spoke to him, the last time we're told that God spoke to him is chapter 7. That's the last time we're told. That means for 1 year and 10 days, for 1 year and 10 days, God may not have spoken to him. At least we're not told that day. He was told to build an ark because this was going to happen. But for 1 year and 10 days, as far as we know, God did not speak to him. Maybe God hasn't spoken to you in a long time. Maybe you don't have a sense that God is speaking to you. What should you do? Stay where you are. You don't want to leap ahead. As I talked about last week, you don't want to leap ahead like the horse, and you don't want to lag behind like the donkey. You want to stay where you are. If God told you to do something, then you take that one step. Very rarely does he tell you everything at one time. As I said last week, he tells you to do one thing, and you do that one thing, and you may have to wait. Noah was all tossed about on that ocean a long, long time. Although God hasn't acted in your life in a long time, he will. He will remember you. He will remember you. How do you know that? How do I know that? Because I believe God's word. And I see how God has acted in the Old Testament. He didn't just say this. He didn't just say this one time. That word is used 73 times in Scripture. If God remembered those people, he'll remember us. What we have to do is not just wait, even though we're being stretched, but that wait is a time where we need to be seeking him, and that's hard. Because when life invades us like that, and it gets us by the pit of our stomach, and we feel too weak to be seeking him, you know what you want to do? You want to find a friend. You want to find a friend. God will act. He does that. He will. He does act. You know, one of my favorite stories, and I've told this a number of times, involves King Richard, the King of England from the 12th century. King of England, King Richard. He's in battle against several of the nations in Europe. And he had such a reputation for being such a mighty warrior. He was a big man. And I can remember being in eighth grade reading a book about him and the strength that he had in swinging his sword and what he could do with that to another person. And thinking, wow. He had such a reputation as a fighter and a leader. And for the first time in his life, he was losing this battle. But he had a very faithful servant who was with him all the time. And that faithful servant came up riding next to him. Oh, King Richard, he called for a retreat. He called for his retreat, and that servant had never heard King Richard call for retreat. Servant came riding up next to him. He said, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember who you are." King Richard hearkened to those words from his servant. History records that he went on that day to win the battle. And so when those times happen, and they will, and they do, remember who you are. Remember who you belong to. Remember whose you are. Remember that you are the son and daughter of the king. Another one of the stories I've told so many times over the years involves this captain of the slave trading ship. And he's with his first mate. And all the slaves, they're chained and they're walking like this. All except one. One is walking like this. And the captain said, "Who's that?" And the first mate said, "He's the son of the king, and he knows it. You're the son and daughter of the king. The tough time that we have is to remembering that, and that God remembers us." And he will. He will. Musicians, stay where you are. And we're going to sing the doxology. Let's stand. Sorry you couldn't take any notes today. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at Bob. If you don't want to be mad at Bob, then be mad at Lou. But not me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.
Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let earth and heavenly saints proclaim the power and might of his great name. Let us exalt on bended knee. Praise Father's Holy Trinity. Amen.
Yes. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for worshiping God on the Lord's Day. As I was preaching, I noticed Leslie was here. Leslie lives far beyond seven fields. God bless you, Leslie. God bless you. But I took note of that. I thought, wow. I said to myself, wow. Leslie came all the way from there to worship the Lord and to see you both and to learn. Pastor Stephen, in a nice strong voice, of which I know you have, can you dismiss us?